We're sure glad that you're here today. And you know what? I want to welcome those of you in the Maple Knoll Cafe gathering. We are so glad that you can join us, as well as Traditions. Guys, thanks in the chapel there for joining us. We are getting ready to close out this year and enter into 2020. Let's have a little rehearsal here, can we? On the count of three, Happy New Year. It's not the year there, but you know, get yourself into the mood. One, two, three. Happy New Year. All right. Awesome. Okay, guys. So I want to actually talk to the guys. Now, women, please keep alert here for just a few minutes, but I just want to talk to the guys real quick. Okay, so guys, how many of you can remember, if you're of age, shaving for the first time? Remember this? Okay. And maybe somebody, maybe that's so long ago you can't remember. But, you know, we probably had somebody come maybe show us, or maybe we did it on our own, and there might have been a few cuts and so forth. And then some people just said, no, I'm going with the electric razor from the beginning. And so they just do that electric. That's a little simpler. You know, you kind of push the button and then turn it on. How many guys here favor the razor, just the razor? Raise your hand. Okay, how many guys favor the electric razor? Okay, yeah, okay, so we got it. It's evenly split. I don't know how it happened in the venues. Well, guys, I do prefer kind of the regular razor, but I bought an electric razor a few weeks ago, and the thing about it, it's so simple. You know, you just plug it in and turn it on. There it is. You know, you kind of adjust the blade length, but anyway, that was why I was so interested in the instructions that came with it, because it's a very simple thing, it would seem, you know. And then I got the instructions for the electric razor, and they were pretty substantial, actually. Yeah, I mean, they kind of just kept going on and on. And wow, that's a lot just to use electric. Would you agree with that? That's a lot there. Well, you know, guys. Guys, sometimes you just need to get it kind of simple. You need to kind of pare it down and say, what's the absolute basics we need to learn here? And I remember when I went off to college, and that's can be a little bit scary thing. You know, I was 18 years old, went off to college. Fortunately for me, I had four older brothers and one older sister who had already been to college, so I had plenty of advice. But I never will forget my brother John sitting down with me. And telling me, okay, Quentin, you're getting ready to go to college. I want to give you some advice. I said, okay. And he says, I want to give you some advice, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to write these down, because these are really important, and you might need that to remember what I'm about to say. And I said, okay, I'm ready to go. And here's what he said. He said, I got this to tell you. Number one, go to class. Number two, take good notes. Number three, study the material. Number four, study for exams. That's my entire prescription for success. And it's like 12 words. I can do that. And I did that, and it went okay. And it was a shocking to me how simple, and sometimes you can boil it down. And there's more to it than that, I know. But that was so basic. And today, I want to position us well for the year 2020. I want to send you, by the grace of God and the word of God, into 2020, well-positioned to really light up your world. In fact, that's this end of this series called Light to the Nations. We've been talking about how God is a light, and we're called to be light. And so I want to send you into 2020 to learn how to light your world. That means light your world, the world you live in, your life, your personal life, and also light your world. Make an impact. Make a difference in the lives of others. So we're going to go to a letter that's written in the New Testament called 1 John. The Apostle John wrote three letters. His first one was called 1 John, and we're going to look at that, and it's 1 John chapter 2. And here's the interesting thing about this letter that John wrote. It really is five chapters long. It's not particularly long, but it basically has two or three themes that he hits upon, and he just comes at them from all different types of angles, and they're overlapping, and he takes it from here, and hey, here's another approach or another illustration, and he just keeps hammering away at these two or three themes from all these different directions. And I want to take one of those passages that kind of does that, and maybe this will spur you on to read the whole letter of 1 John. But it's a great one to look at as you think about the future 2020, as you think about goals, people are making resolutions. Well, I want to boil it down to just the most basic stuff, and we're going to look at this passage in depth. But this great passage is going to help you build authenticity in your own spiritual walk. It's going to help you to develop and deepen your spiritual walk and bolster confidence in your relationship with God, as well as focusing on helping you walk in the light and also be a light and reflecting that light to others. So let's look at this passage, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. We're going to read the whole passage to begin with. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there, or you can go to the YouVersion app, or you can just watch here on the big screen. Here we go. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, and yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. The old command is the word you have heard. Yet I am writing to you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining. The one who says he's in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So you might want to write down some principles here. The first one is, and we'll spend the most time on this one by far, and that is number one, follow God's lighted path. So God has a path for us. His path is the word of God. Here it is. His word, communicated by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to over 40 authors. And we read his lighted path, and the psalmist says, your word is a light, a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. And so that's, we're going to say that this is what we want to do in 2020. Open up the word and let this light our way, all right? So here's where we go, and we're going to look a long time at this first verse, verse 3. This is how we know that we know him. If we keep his commands. So here's the great thing about Christianity. You can actually know God. You can have a personal encounter, personal relationship with the living God, the creator of the universe. He says you can know him. And what's more, not only can you know him, but you can have confidence. You can know that you know him. In other words, there's no doubt in your mind that you have come to know him. There's no doubt in your mind that you have forgiveness of your sins, that you have an eternity promised for you in heaven, that you have an inheritance, that the Holy Spirit is residing within you. And we want to say, how can you bolster that confidence? Because we all have doubts. When we blow it, or when we do wrong, or when we have doubts about our own faith and our own walk, how do we do that? He says, okay, here's how you can know that you know him. He says, if we keep his commands, He says, that's the key for bolstering your confidence, for having the assurance of your own salvation, for having the assurance that you know God. Sometimes you ever wonder, wow, do I really have this? Do I really get this? Do I really know God? Now, you see, what he's saying here is when I know God, when I really know God, and I come to know him, then that changes me little by little over time. Not all at once. It's very slow, in fact. And I would encourage you as you look at your life, don't look at it necessarily day to day, but week to week, month to month, year to year. Look back and say, you know what? God really has changed me. I'm not who I used to be, however many years ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or more. I'm a different person now because I'm keeping his commands. That means I'm walking in his truth. You see, now make sure you don't get this wrong. Make sure you don't say, I will come to know him by obeying his commands. If I obey his commands, then I'll come to know him. No. That's moralism. That's legalism. That's works righteousness. That would say, you know, I need to obey God in order to have a relationship with him. No. That's not it. We start with the cross, that we're not worthy, that our works can't earn our way to heaven, that we can't be forgiven. That's totally by grace, and we trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And if you never have come and crossed that line, that's where you start. You say, Lord Jesus, you actually loved me so much that you were willing to die in my place. In spite of all my flaws and failures and sins and wrongdoing and evil, you forgive it all through the cross of Jesus and you trust in him. But then something happens. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And now you begin to get your life, what? Aligned with the Word of God. You're walking in his commands. You're keeping his commands. Not all at once, little by little, and sometimes it's painfully slow. But you see it happening. And that gives you confidence that God is doing something in your life. If there has been a change, if we keep his commands, it's not so much keeping, sometimes we're not so much on keeping his commands these days. It's like other things we pay attention to. But he says, no, this is central to the Christian faith. It's the heart of the Bible's message on being in the light. It says to keep his commands, not just know his commands, which of course is important and fundamental to foundational, but keep his commands. And not keep or obey your feelings. You may feel a certain way, but what do you do with it? Do you live it? Do you follow it? So when he says keep his commands, let's look at those two words, keep and commands, all right? Keep means to what in the Bible? To guard, to protect, to hold on to, and to follow closely. I'm going to keep with you. That's what we're talking about, keeping those commands. And when the Bible talks about commands, that's the pathway for life. That's the Word of God. Now, sometimes when we think of commands, guys, what we think of is like demands for ethical behaviors, like do's and don'ts. That's what we think of when we hear the word commands. Do this, don't do that. It certainly would include that, but in the scriptures, when Jesus and others use the word commands, they're more global in their understanding of what that word means. What does it mean? It means not just ethical behaviors, but everything that Jesus taught us about God, about ourselves, about the world, about life, about choices, about decisions, about attitudes. It's the way that Jesus is calling it. He's calling it this way, and those are his commands. And all through the Bible, you get the teaching of the Word of God. The whole teaching of the Word of God is what God has spoke forth. Those are his commands. So it's everything. Now, mind you, this is not some legalistic rule-keeping that keeps an angry father happy and off our backs. It's not about keeping all the outward rules and external behaviors. That's what the hypocritical Pharisees did. And Jesus said to them, to obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, they were doing all the rituals, all the sacrifices, they were following them to the letter, but their heart wasn't there. They weren't really keeping the commands of God. They were just going through external behaviors. Their hearts were far from God. But to keep his commands means they mean something to you. They're deep within your heart. This is about staying in the light. This is about staying in the zone. See, my life and yours, here's God's commands, this the word of God. So my life and his word is lived under the commands of God, under the teaching of the Bible. And so I want to stay there. I want to keep there. I don't want to move away from that, from under that, but I want to stay under the influence in the light of the Word of God. Now, when he says, keep my commands, and I mentioned this a few months ago, but I want to mention it again because repetition is sometimes good. We need to be reminded, don't we? There are easy and popular commands of Jesus, and then there are hard and unpopular commands of Jesus. And he actually asks us to keep all of his commands. In fact, he said at one point, if you love me, keep my commands, right? Stick with my teaching. If you love me, keep my commands. Now, what we have a lot of times in the church is two camps. There's kind of the love camp over here, and then there's kind of the commands camp over here. You with me? And the love camp is like, hey, we want to feel good about this. We want to be devoted. We want to have a heart for God. It's about loving God and loving people. And they emphasize that a lot, but they leave out the command side. And then the command side, people, wait a minute. No, it's the teaching of the Word of God. You know, we got to line up with the truth. And we got to keep these commands and hold on to them tightly. Well, that's true, but they're not always as loving as they should be in the way they do that. Or they don't do it out of a heart of love. And Jesus doesn't have two camps. He only has one camp. If you love me, keep my commands. It belongs together. Don't separate these two things that belong together. That's what he's saying here. So Jesus' love language, if you will, is keep my commands, hold to my teaching, follow me closely, guard and protect it in your heart. Jesus said on one occasion, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. So what does that mean when he says keep his commands? It means we follow his way, we believe his truth, and we live his life. We believe his way, we follow his way, believe his truth, and live his life. Now, it's not just easy commands or popular commands. Here's a popular command. In the year 2019, almost 2020, judge not, lest you be judged. That's popular. We don't be judgmental. Here's another popular one. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Sure, absolutely. That's awesome. How about this one? Serve one another in love. Absolutely. We should do that. How about this one? Forgive others as the Lord has forgiven you. Absolutely. You know, those are hard sometimes, but we agree with them. And then we come to difficult ones. The hard sayings of Jesus that the culture presses up against and says, or we ourselves do. And we say, I'm not sure about that. Here's one. I'm going to give you four, all right? Real quick. Number one, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now this, Jesus makes an exclusive claim. He says the only way that people have a true relationship with the true and living God is through me. He makes an exclusive claim that he is the only way, truth, and life to the Father, the way to the Father. And so he, although we might admire certain things about other world religions and so forth, ultimately we say that he is the way. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And that's a hard pill to swallow in a pluralistic culture that says, well, all truths are equal. They're all valid. Nobody can claim anything exclusively to themselves. Well, Jesus did. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are you going to keep that command? You going to hold on to that one? Jesus says, if you love me, keep this, guard this, protect this, follow this, believe this. Here's another one. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Yikes. Wow. I have a book. It's called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. It's written by a scholar named F.F. Bruce. It's got like 60 sayings of Jesus that are just like, whoa, wow, that's extreme. But Jesus had a way of speaking sometimes in which he did use hyperbole and exaggeration, which any good speaker does at times, right? And he uses that kind of language, which would have been very common in the ancient Near East, and he makes an extreme statement here. You know what? Your love and devotion to me has to be priority. Your love and devotion to me has to be greater than any other human love or devotion. In fact, if I were to say it extremely, you gotta hate all those others compared to your love for me. Now, obviously, Jesus wants us to love each other. He wants us to love our families. He's not denying what he said in other places. But what he's saying in a very radical way is your top allegiance has to be to me. That means when push comes to shove, you're going to follow me. And you're not going to do something against me to make somebody else happy or to please them. And that's a tough one. And sometimes there's room to be able to do both well, but sometimes it comes down to it, and you know, you just got to choose Jesus. You willing to keep that command in 2020? When the culture turns against you in many different ways, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I'm just talking about holding on to truth and following Jesus, even when it gets hard and unpopular. How about this one? Here's super controversial and unpopular in 2020. Jesus talked about marriage and sexuality. Haven't you read, he replied, that he who created them, that is God, in the beginning, that's at the beginning of everything, made them male and female. So God has designed and determined these two genders. And he also said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So here we have this teaching in the Bible, which says this, in three times in a span of a couple verses there, that God's design for sexuality, that God's design for marriage is between what? Male, female, husband, wife, mother, father. That's the way God has designed this. And Jesus says, it's been that way from the beginning. And he says, this is God's design. He states it authoritatively. And it's repeated in other places by Jesus himself and many other authors of Scripture from the beginning to the end of the Bible. But the culture presses hard against this one and wants to rebel against one, saying that is not the design. And my question for you when push comes to shove is, if you love me, you won't keep this one? You gonna keep this command? Or does this get tossed out? It's important. We are blessed. God has designed us in order to bless our lives. And when we push against his design, it creates all sorts of havoc and problems interpersonally, inside our hearts, and in the culture at large. If you love me, keep my commands in 2020. And then, here's the last one, and this is a hot potato. Don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Whoa! Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. Are we going to hold on to that? Are we going to say that there is eternal consequences for those who reject his love? That there is grave, grave, serious consequences that we need to think about deeply about our own lives and about the lives of other people that we love and care for? That if they spurn the love of God, that they're facing the potential of an eternity separated from him. I'm telling you guys, if we hold on to that, it transforms the way we look at people. Because suddenly, it's not just business as usual. Suddenly, our love becomes greater for them. Because we realize the stakes are high. We want them so deeply to come into a relationship with God, to know him. Because we don't want them to push away from God. Because ultimately, God, he does not violate us. If we say, I don't want anything to do with God, then we'll have that for all eternity. And that's a frightening prospect. And my question is, if you love me, are you going to keep this command, he says? Is that important to you? And there's many others we could mention. I just hit those because those are like the, you know, top four that maybe we'll get pushed against as we head into the year 2020. You know, Martin Luther was a great reformer in the 1500s. And he had this quote, and I want to read it to you. If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. For where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. So he says, if you love me, keep my commands. Or as John says in 1 John 3, this is how we know that we know him. How you bolster your confidence that you're following him if we keep his commands. Now, I want to help you out with some practical stuff here, guys. Did you know that there are several major movements and organizations of Christians all over the world, and they've all banded together? There's over 600 million of them, and they have agreed to declare, to affirm the year 2020 as the global year of the Bible. The global year of the Bible. So this is a big movement. A lot of people have signed. We want this to be the year that millions and millions, even billions of people engage with the Bible, discuss the Bible, study the Bible, read the Bible. So I want to give us a little head start. We got like 2 or 3 days, right? All right, before we hit 2020. So I want to give you some practical ways to do that, all right? First one. We talked sometime about YouVersion. Look at this. The YouVersion, the Bible app. So if you go onto your phone or onto your computer, you can find this app, okay? It's called the YOUVersion right there. And you can get it. It's free. It's got dozens of English translations. And you can read them on your phone there. It's very easy to search for stuff there. super easy. Plus, it has reading plans. So in other words, you can click on, and there's dozens and dozens and dozens of reading plans, all right, guys? So if you want to say, hey, I want to read through the New Testament in the year 2020, you just click on that plan, and then it's going to send you the passage to read for that day. It's going to remind you to do this, and it's going to help you do that. If you say, I want to read through the entire Bible, it can do that for you. Can't do it for you, but it can remind you to do it. And so it's going to have that passage in front of you. It only takes a few minutes a day. You can read through the entire Bible. Or maybe you say, I want to really study about anxiety, or I want to study about salvation, or I want to study about forgiveness. Whatever it might be, you can actually pick topics, and then it will create a reading plan for you and send that to you. It's an amazing application. And it's right there for free on your phone, and it'll even send you text reminders. Here's what to do today. It's so great. I encourage everybody to have that. Here's another thing you might want to think about. You can also purchase or download like different Bible translations. And I'm going to recommend two of them to you because they're dramatized Bible translations. All right. In other words, there's actors that speak on it and there's a little bit of sound effects and so forth. It just makes it come alive for some folks. And one I recommend, I've actually used this myself, is the NIV Audio Bible. Multi-voice recording, musical score. It's really well done. It's 75 hours of the Bible all the way through Genesis to Revelation. You think 75 hours? I know, but just a little bit a day. It really isn't that much per day when you divide 75 hours by 365 days. Here's another one. It's called the Word of Promise. And you can get the New Testament or the entire Bible, but they've had some really great actors, men and women really skilled at this, and they dramatically present the Bible, and they just read the Bible. And it's really easy to listen to, and it really brings it come alive for some folks. So if that's more what you lean into, I'd encourage you, check that out. It's really good. Another thing, Pastor Brandon and I, when we speak from the Word of God, we use the CSB translation, which is called the Christian Standard Bible. And if you'd like that translation to use for your own, maybe you have a different translation, out in the atrium today, we have a couple pictures here. Out in the atrium today, you can go and see, you can pick up a Bible there for purchase, and you can get, there's a lot of different varieties of Bible for all ages, and you can get a Bible in this translation, and then you can follow along. Maybe that's something that would be great for you this year. And by the way, those Bibles are for sale, but we don't make a penny off of those. I think we lose on every Bible, so we're not making money off of this. We just want to make it available to you. All right. Here's another opportunity. In your worship folder today, there's a little announcement about Cover to Cover. It's a survey class, meets on Tuesday nights. And it's fantastic. Read about it. And this semester, we're going to be looking at the New Testament. So you can get a survey of all the books in the New Testament, 27 books, in a Tuesday nights. It's going to cover the entire New Testament with skilled teaching, and you're really going to go deep into the Word of God. Maybe that's an option you need to check out. Starts Tuesday in January. So check that out. It's in your worship folder, announcement about that. Now, some of you hear all this, and by the way, there are dozens of other Bible studies. There's life groups, all sorts of opportunities to dig into the Bible this year. But some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I have questions. I have doubts about the Bible. I have objections about the Bible. Well, you know what, guys? We have a fantastic course. We mentioned it during our announcement times, and that's called Alpha. And Alpha is a great 11-week course. It meets on Monday nights. And it's a great place for both Christians and also non-Christians, skeptics, doubters, people with objections to come together in a friendly atmosphere, eat a meal provided by a chef for free here at Valley Church, and then watch a short film that talks about some basic thing about Christianity, and then have a discussion around the table with people who will listen to your perspective, even if you disagree. It's a fantastic thing, and we've had 250 people at Valley Church already go through this in less than 2 years. I want to tell you just a little bit about this through a video. Just here's what it's about. Check it out, okay?
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strive to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
And I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself, you can say what you think and challenge everything. No question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith and meaning.
So guys, I've been a pastor for almost 35 years, and I've seen a lot of film series come and go, but I'm telling you, this is top shelf. This is one of the finest things I've ever seen, and I particularly want to encourage you, those of you who are maybe veteran Christ followers, to grab that person in your life, that family member, that friend, your one life that God has put in your path, and say, I really want to help them to understand what Christianity is all about. Bring them to Alpha. It makes all the difference. Now, some of you are thinking, wow, Pastor, we're still on verse 3. How are we going to get there? Okay, we're going to make it. Verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him and yet doesn't keep his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. In other words, there's a lot of fakes and frauds out there who make a show of religion and make a show of Christianity, but they don't follow the teachings of Jesus. They don't believe the teachings of Jesus. They don't live like Jesus. It's just a claim without a life. And a claim without any life is a lie, he says. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, protects it, guards it, follows it closely, truly in him the love of God is made complete. How many of you want to have in 2020 the love of God made complete in your life? It's like, wow, I experienced the love of God in greater fullness and greatness, and I give and show the love of God in greater fulfillment and fullness in the year 2020. How do you do that? He says, you keep his word. You dive into this book and soak it in and saturate and marinate your life in the word of God, and it can transform you in a powerful way. That's what he's talking about. And the love of God will be made complete in your life. It's to be so much fuller. This is how we know we are in him. This is how we gain confidence and bolster our confidence that we really do belong to Jesus. The one who says he is, remains in him, should walk just as he walked. In other words, Christians want to be people that walk like Jesus walked, that live like Jesus like, not to look like Jesus, right? But to actually be like Jesus, to be like his character, right? This is what I'm talking about, and not to be a fraud. It's easy to get fooled. I saw this the other day. Day 33, they still suspect nothing. You know, a lot of us get fooled by frauds and fakes. Don't be that person. There's an African proverb, and I love it. It says, when you're looking at somebody's life, and maybe in your own life, it talks about, you don't just listen to what they say. Watch how they live. And the proverb is this. Don't watch his mouth, watch his feet. Don't watch his mouth, watch his feet. That shows you the real life. Everyone who claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. Okay, quick now. Number two, reject the dark side. Little nod to Star Wars there. Okay, reject the dark side. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old command that you've had from the beginning. The old command is the word you have heard. Verse 8, yet I am writing to you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What in the world is he talking about? Well, if you'd read the entire letter, you'd know he's talking about the command to love one another. And he says, this love one another command is like an old command. It's like it goes way back to the Old Testament. I mean, love your neighbor as yourself. It's like one of the oldest commands of the Bible. And it's repeated all throughout the Old Testament and in the New. So it's an old command. Oh, but it's a new command because it can be new and fresh every single day. There's new ways to live out that old command. It's a new command. It comes to life again. So in 2020, you want your life to be new and fresh and meaningful and brand new? Love people. Find new ways to love people. Find ways to go deeper in loving one another. You want 2020 to be a fantastic year? Love people. Find new ways to love people. Take that old command and make it new in your life. Find new ways to apply it and live it. That's what he's saying. And reject that old dark side. He says, verse 9, the one who says he's in the light but hates his brother or sister, he's in the darkness until now. He still hasn't got it figured out. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. We'll come back to that verse in a minute. Verse 11, but the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The one who hates people is totally in the dark. Whenever you hate, you step out of that light, and the darkness blinds you. Yes, it does. And it's so easy to mistake something that looks good for the real thing. And it seems like at the beginning it would be good, but it's just empty. It's like the sign I saw about the Air and Space Museum. Check it out here. Went to the Air and Space Museum, but there was nothing there. Some of you are still not just getting this, okay. Yeah, that's some people's life and their claim to Christianity. You hope there's something there, and they have the big, you know, thing, but there's nothing there. They're in the dark still. Don't be in the dark. Reject the dark side. Come into the light. Keep his commands and love one another. And that brings us to the last principle, number three. Love all the people God puts in your path. Just love the people God puts in your path. Verse 10, the one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light. Yeah. That's where you're going to see God show up. You remain in his light by loving people. You're going to see God there. For there's no cause for stumbling in him. You're not going to fall down then. You're not going to mess up then. You can't go wrong if you truly, biblically grounded, love people. Because that's what God has called us to do. Show me someone who loves and I'll show you someone in the light. True love, when it's biblically understood, will never make you stumble. Love does not mean sentimentality, but seeking the highest good for another in a manner and in a attitude that will accomplish that purpose, what is best for them. And if you love people in truth, you're not going to stumble. You can't go wrong. You're going to be in the light. But are you going to be someone who loves people in the year 2020? And are you going to make it your goal to say, I'm going to love people more deeply in the year 2020? So guys, we got all these crazy instructions. The Bible's a long book. It really is. It's a lot of instructions and commands. But today, in this little passage, you kind of got it down to a couple things to keep in mind for 2020. And what are those couple things? Keep his commands and love people. Father, thank you. Thank you that your word is precious, that it guides us into light, that it never leads us astray. It's a hard book to understand sometimes. And there are head scratchers, even for those of us who've been following you for a long time. But help us to know that you've got answers there for us and that we just need to keep going deep into it because the truth is real and your word is truth. So Father, help us this year to make this the year of the Bible for us and for us to go deep into it and also to really love people well. to do that with a spirit and an attitude and actions that will show your love to others. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. Well, guys, right now,